You guys have a good day yesterday? Was anybody working yesterday? Anyone have to work? A few people. You were working yesterday, were you? Wow. Joy was working. Joy works at the zoo as a face painter. That is a cool job. I just want to say that. So if you're ever at the zoo, look out for Joy. And Andy's a face painter as well, isn't he? Or does something at the zoo. I know he doesn't face paint, but he's at the zoo working. Not this Andy. Andy's like, I need to get a job at the zoo. Anyway, so I'm going to talk just for about 10 minutes, miracles happen, about families on mission. I'm going to start off, though, by just reading something from the Bible. If you've got a Bible or a phone with a Bible on or whatever Bible you carry around, if you open up to John chapter 10, this is one of the verses that HBC holds on to. It's a very famous verse of the Bible or chapter of the Bible. And it's also the bit we're going to look at is one of my favourite passages of the Bible, of the New Testament. And it's Jesus speaking. So we're going to open up John chapter 10, and I'm just going to read a few verses from verse 7, and then we're going to look at what we're doing. And if there's any kids in the room, young people, if you want to look at your parents' Bible or have a look at somebody else's Bible that's sat near you, have a look, because the Bible is the Word of God. It's the living Word of God. We love it in this church. Although, if you've got and like an iPad like me, and you touch the side of the screen, it turns the chapter. So I was about to read John chapter 9. Also good, it's in the Bible. John chapter 10, verse 7. Here we go. Therefore, Jesus said again, very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. Everybody say gate. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Say gate. Jesus says he's the gate, just if you haven't got that yet. Whoever enters through me will be saved. So Jesus is talking about how you get saved. You get saved by coming through Jesus, who is the gate. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes to steal, kill and destroy. I have come that you that they may have life and have it to the full. Everyone say life.
Life.
Woo! So Jesus says, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. When I was growing up, I thought God was a really grumpy old man. Does anyone know any grumpy old men? Come on, be honest. It's okay if you're Caleb and you've got your hand up, because sometimes I can be a bit grumpy as well. Just being honest. But I thought God was a grumpy old man with a really big beard and a stick. And that when you were naughty, God would smack you with the stick and go, no, you naughty boy. That was what anybody else grow up thinking that's what God was like? Come on, be honest, it's okay. That's what I thought God was like that. As I've got a bit older, I've come to realise that God is perhaps, I'd like to argue and suggest, and I am right, that God is like Jesus because Jesus is God. So if you want to know, you go, I don't know what God's like. Read the Gospels, because it's all about Jesus and Jesus is God. That shows you what Jesus is like. That shows you what God is like. So Jesus says, I've come that you may have life. I thought that God was there to control us and tell us off when we're naughty. I went to church. I grew up in a Christian family of sorts. It's a bit strange. Anyway, another story. But I went to church. I grew up in church. But honestly, I thought God was a bit of a grumpy old man with a stick who would tell you off. That was my impression of God. I've come to realise that God is a God full of grace, love, mercy, compassion. He is kind, he is good, and he calls us his friends. That's the type of God that I want to follow. Anyone else? Like, you think, yeah, actually, I will follow a God who gives life, who is full of goodness. That is the type of God I want to follow. So HBC as a church, we've kind of come to this verse a few times, and the history of HBC, those of you who've been around longer than me will know, John chapter 10, verse 10 has come up from time to time. And also for Christians generally, it comes up. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. When I was growing up as well, we would have family dinners. And after dinner, quite often, mum or dad would get out some after dinner chocolates. Anybody else have after dinner chocolates? And if you were like me, Jonathan's like, yeah! If you were like me, Jonathan, this might be you, I don't know. If you were like me, you'd be like, can I have one? It would be like after eights. Anyone ever have after eights? Does anyone have them before eight? Feel like a rebel. Come on. I'll have them at seven. I will have after eights any time of the day. It's after eight in the morning, whatever. Let's go with that after eight. After Eights. I'd love After Eights. Anybody else? Come on, After Eights. Just that dark chocolate. I don't even like dark chocolate, but that thin layer of mint. Jonathan's just hand is up. I love After Eights. You'd be like, can I have an After Eight, please, Mum or Dad? Or whoever. Like, yes, you can have one. Okay, I'll have one. Can I have another one? Okay, you can have another one. And then you'd be like, a few minutes later, can I have another one? No! I know why parents say no. It's for very valid reason. It is for their own benefit. They want to eat more. If you're a child and you're wondering, why won't they let me have more? It's because your parents are greedy and they just want to scoff their faces on After Eights. I know. I am one. I do it. I love After Eights. Someone bought some After Eights once and they were just kind of sitting around for a couple of days after we'd opened them and had a few at dinner time being polite with our guests. I scoffed a load. Let me tell you, I felt sick. There is a valid reason why you shouldn't eat tons of After Eights, but they do make you sick. Or feel sick anyway. I love them though. But sometimes there are things in life where this is for the parents, this is for the adults. And you kind of get that quite often as a parent saying to your children, no, that's not for you, that's not for now. Or this is adults' time, or this is not for kids. This is not for kids. And scoffing loads of After Eights is definitely not for kids. That is an adult thing. And we should hold on to that, parents, because it feels so good. Haagen-Dazs ice cream, that is definitely not for kids. You cannot share that. Or Ben and Jerry's. We had Haagen-Dazs this week. Because a very nice, lovely friend of ours brought it round for us. We were feeling ill. It really helped my sore throat. Man, that is good medicine. And we also had some Ben and Jerry's this week as well. That's good too. Not for kids. Why am I saying it's all not for kids? Let me tell you why. Because the stuff we're doing as HBC is for kids. It is for kids and it's for adults. It's for teenagers. It is a family thing. We quite often have in churches all over the country, you'll have vision Sundays where they will share the vision of the church, what the church is about. But quite often the kids don't get to hear about it. Well, one of the things we wanted to do this morning was to tell you as children, as young people, that we want you involved in what we're doing as the wider church, as the church family. We believe that children are valued by God, like, a lot. Jesus says, let the kids come to me, let the children come to me. And Jesus says, you need to have the faith of a child. So we need to learn from our children how they are with their faith and how they respond. But the HBC vision, does anyone know it? Anyone know what the HBC vision is, our vision for the church? If you've got your notices, you might have a little sneaky look down the bottom. Is that? That's my notices, Andy. You're not allowed to have a sneaky look. You wrote it. Do you know the vision of HBC, Andy? Okay, at the bottom of your notices, it says this. I do know it off by heart, just so you know. Go on, you can test me. Come on, then. I'm going to show off. I listen and pay attention. Bringing healing, wholeness and freedom to broken lives and communities as we expect great things from God and attempt great things with God. Is that right? Come on. See, that's why I'm here. That's the vision of HBC. But children, we want you to be involved in that. Teenagers, we want you to be involved in that. This isn't just for the adults. This isn't just an adult thing. As we do missional communities in a few weeks' time, we're going to launch missional communities. It's very exciting. We'll be hearing more about that in the coming weeks. As we launch them, we want whole families to be on mission together. When you look in the Bible, in the New Testament, you see this family concept in Acts, on mission together, going for it together. We want children involved in the mission of HBC. We want children and teenagers to own it, to live it, and to set an example even to sometimes us adults who have years of making excuses and theological things and all this kind of stuff. And kids are like, let's just tell them about Jesus. It's great. We'll go out on the streets and give out free hugs because we've done it in Engage and all that kind of stuff. We want children involved. We want young people involved. And the thing that we want you to do most of all, children, young people, adults, HBC, is to really live out who Jesus is. Let's make it simple. Be like Jesus. Demonstrate Jesus. Share Jesus. What was Jesus like? He was full of love. He was full of compassion. He was full of kindness. He was full of goodness. That's what we want you to be like. So children, that's what we need to be. It says Jesus came to give us life to the full. Let me just experiment? That's not the word I'm looking for. Illustrate. I might need... probably should have had your mic on, Andy. I'm going to pour a glass of water here. Now, in one version of the Bible, it doesn't say Jesus said that he came that they may have life. It says that. He came that they may have life, but not to the full. It says that they may have life that overflows. Water's good. I'm going to show you what overflowing looks like. Thanks, we'll mop that up in a minute. Water overflows out the glass when you pour too much in. What we want to be, what I want to be, is somebody that lives a life that is so full of Jesus, it overflows. It doesn't just fill me up and makes me feel better, but it impacts the environment, it impacts the community, it impacts the relationships around me. So that out of my life flows Jesus, because he overflows, because I'm so full of Jesus. I want to be so in love with Jesus that I cannot help but overflow Jesus. I don't do it all the time. I'm not perfect. Hard to believe, I know. I get it wrong, I mess it up. But as a church, as we go on mission, let's overflow Jesus. Let's pour in more of Jesus. Let's worship Jesus. Let's read the Bible. Let's study it. But let's not just become a holy community that loves Jesus and is filled up with Jesus but doesn't do anything with it. Let's become a community that is so in love with Jesus, it overflows. So that as a family, and as a family church, but as families, your own family unit, wherever you are, however that family unit looks to you, let's overflow Jesus to the people around us. That's what this is about. That's what this whole missional community thing is about. It's about people who don't know Jesus finding out about who Jesus is. And it's about discipling them, seeing them grow in their faith. And that we can do that with our children. We can do that with the teenagers. The teenagers can disciple people. Children can disciple people. It's not an adult thing. This is for the whole family to get involved with. And it will look different in your missional community. It'll look different in your family. It'll look different how you live it out in your area, in your community, the people you come into contact with. But the point is, it's a whole family thing. So I want Thea, my youngest, to grow up in a family that is on mission together as a unit, but also as a missional community and also as a wider church community and family as well. I want her to grow up hearing that it is normal to make disciples, hearing that it is normal to lay hands on the sick and see them healed, that it is normal to hear words of knowledge from God and share them with people who don't know Jesus, that it is normal for her to do those things as she grows up in a family that really grapples what it is to overflow Jesus to the people around us. So we're a family on mission as a church. We're family on mission in our missional communities. We're family on mission in our family units. Let's overflow Jesus. Let's share the good news. And I believe we will see people come to know Jesus. We will see people come to faith in our communities, in our streets, in our schools, in our workplaces, in our colleges, universities, wherever we are. We will see God do amazing things as we attempt great things with him. Can I pray? And then Andy's like, shut up, Ed. Stop talking. You've been too long. Let's just put your hand up in the air just to help you focus more than anything else. Let's just spend a moment. Jesus, we thank you that you came to give us life. Jesus, thank you that you came to give us life that overflows, that doesn't just fill us up, but it impacts those around us. And so, Jesus, we thank you for that. Help us to be disciples who make disciples by overflowing you. Thank you, Jesus, that you are good, that you are kind, and that you are compassionate. Thank you, Jesus, that you love us, that your love is never ending. And for any of us here this morning, God, that are struggling to have life, to know that life overflowing, God, we pray for those people right now. I pray for them that they would start to experience what it is to have life. And for some of us whose life is running a bit dry, running on fumes, I pray you'd encourage us, speak hope into us, give us life. We thank you, Jesus. And everybody said, amen.
Thanks, Ed. Zach, just want to put that slide back up again. Said back to school, I think. So, we are using this phrase to sort of describe what we're about, families on mission. So what I want us to do now is I want you to get into groups of about 10. Now, I appreciate this is a little bit scary because it means that you're going to have to talk to somebody sat next to you. Don't normally do that in church. You normally just sit at the front and look at me. Well, we're not going to do that. So if that's a bit too difficult for you, hopefully you'll be next to somebody who's nice. We are nice people, hopefully.